This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Welcome, everybody, to episode 105 of Taylor Talk, the Taylor Swift podcast. My name is Adam.
I'm Maya.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
And we've got a great episode planned for you guys. But of course, before we go back to December, we just wanted to do... Did you guys see what I did there?
I see, yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Nice. We just wanted to do a quick recap of the 13 Days of Taylor holiday promotion that's still going on in the Taylor Swift online store. Now, for those who don't know what it is, it's basically December 1st through 13th, which 13th you should know is Taylor's birthday. Diane forgot that last week, I think. Diane.
Why are you outing me like this? I know when her birthday is.
Anyway, they release a different product each day of the week, or each day of the 13 days, rather, on the Taylor Swift online store at special promotional prices and things like that. It's super cool. We were actually fortunate enough on our last episode, if you missed 104, to unveil one of the products on behalf of the Taylor Swift online store and Taylor Nation. So that was a pretty cool sort of experience for us. But there were, well, thus far, there have been seven other organizations that have released. So day one was the Taylor Swift Fragrance Flight, which was a pack of all three of the perfumes. What do they call those? Like roller balls, those little things?
Yeah.
And a little Wonderstruck bag. Day two was the Cat Ear headbands. Day three was a four-album pack with all four of Taylor's albums in one pack. Day four was our day. Woohoo! That was the Red Tour. That was the Red Tour lithograph, which thus far has been really popular. It's a really, really cool-looking piece. It's a panorama shot of Taylor on stage during the Red Tour with her band and everybody around her. It's super cool. And has the set list, which people have pointed out to me is actually missing Red from the Red Tour set list. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, I saw that.
So
weird.
Oops.
I wonder if they did that just because they figured the word red was already on the poster and they didn't want to repeat themselves, but it is a little odd.
But nonetheless, it's a beautiful piece, and only $14.99 at that. It's not a very expensive piece either. So day five was a Red Jersey zipper hoodie. Day six, I thought, was the other cool product besides our own, the red sunglasses with a case. They're kind of like red frame, like Wayfarer, you know, the Ray-Ban Wayfarer sunglasses. They look like that, and they say Taylor Swift along the side, the part that goes
over. You're not going to pop the lenses out of that like you do those other ones that you wear on our live episodes, do you?
No, Steve. I'm actually probably not going to buy them. I think they're more fit for the head of a female, not my own giant head.
Adam has a giant head. It's because of his ego.
No, it's physically large. I have a lot of trouble shopping for sunglasses.
And hats.
And hats, too. Well, hats are adjustable, so that's okay. Most of them. Anyway, day seven was the squirrel pajamas. They brought those back from last year, the squirrel pajamas that appeared in the We Are Never Ever Ever Getting Back Together music video. And then day eight, the last one that we know of so far, is the tour book package where they have the tour books from all three of Taylor's tours. And those are being bundled together for $10. It's actually really reasonable.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a really good deal. Because isn't each tour book at the concert $20?
Yeah, $20. So it's a $60 value they brought down to $10,
mm-hmm.
which is really neat. Now, there's obviously 5 days left, five products left in the promotion. So keep an eye out for that. We'll update you guys on the midweek episode as well on what has come out. In the meantime, if you're interested in any of those products, I created a shortcut link for you guys so you don't have to search. I created taylortalk.org/13 days. That's 13, the numbers, 13 days. And that'll actually redirect you to Taylor Swift's online store to the exact page that has all of the 13 days of Taylor promos. So that's kind of
awesome.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, it's a little shortcut. So that's taylortalk.org/13 days. And of course, if you buy something, be sure to enter code TaylorTalk at the checkout and you will be given a free Red album poster along with your order. So that's kind of neat. Enter code TaylorTalk.
All one word, right?
All one word, TaylorTalk. And well, I've rambled for long enough for this episode. Diane, what's been going on in the news?
Well, we just have one thing, but it's a pretty cool one thing. The Grammy nominations concert live took place on December 6th, and Taylor Swift received four nominations.
Yay!
Yay!
She was nominated for Album of the Year for Red, Best Country Album for Red, Best Country Duo / Group Performance for Highway Don't Care, along with Tim McGraw and Keith Urban, and Best Country Song for Begin Again. In addition, the Grammys aired Taylor's performance of I Knew You Were Trouble, which was recorded from the Red Tour in Sydney, Australia on December 4th. The 56th Annual Grammy Awards will take place in Los Angeles, California on January 26th, 2014, and will be broadcast live on CBS at 8 p.m.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Diane. And Maya, what's coming up on the calendar?
All right. Well, on December 10th, the 2013 American Country Awards will air on Fox at 8. Taylor is nominated for 8 awards, so hopefully everybody voted and make sure to watch that. Actually, maybe you should be switching back and forth on your TV because the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show is also airing on December 10th, which includes both of Taylor's performances, and that is going to be on CBS at 10 o'clock, so make sure you watch that too. And then finally, December 13th, Taylor Swift is turning 24 years old.
Yeah! Oh. She's a big kid now.
Mm-hmm. She's so old now.
Oh, come on!
I remember when she was like 20.
We can't say that.
I know, but it's just weird. Like, as I age, she also ages. And just,
yeah, oh. Wow.
How dare she do that, Diane? She should stay the same age forever.
I know.
She should never grow up, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Steve, exactly.
Steve, I wish we were on one of our Google Hangouts right now. I would have inserted one of the drum da-da-ch things. So. All right. So thank you for the calendar, Maya. Now we're going to turn it over to Sammy from T-Swift on Tour to find out what's been going on the Red Tour. Sammy, take it away.
Hey guys, it's Sammy at SamIAm1331 from T-Swift on Tour here with your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. Taylor is now in Australia on the Australian leg of the Red Tour. On the 4th, Taylor was in Sydney, Australia and was the first female in 20 years to play at a lawn stadium and was the first female ever to sell out the stadium. The set list remained the same as in New Zealand. During the main monologue, Taylor got attacked by mosquitoes and slapped her arm and told them to stop. Taylor also did the Aussie, Aussie, Aussie chant and the crowd went crazy. Right before Taylor sang All Too Well, it started to rain, and before All Too Well ended, the power went out on stage, but Taylor kept singing until they went back on. On the 7th, Taylor was in Brisbane, Australia. The set list again remained the same, but before The Lucky One, power went out on stage again. Part of the set broke, and Taylor came out for The Lucky One before she should. Taylor spoke to the crowd and told them because the set had traveled so far, something had broken, and that she wasn't going to play golf, because that's what people do, quote-unquote. She also told the crowd thank you for helping her receive Album of the Year nomination at the Grammys, and to pretend that they hadn't seen her costume, and they were going to show the video and start the song again. While Taylor was talking, one of the pit sides was evacuated, and we were later told that they will be getting a refund. When the stage was fixed, Taylor was able to continue the show. Next show is on December 11th in Perth, Australia. That's your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. Bye, guys. See you next week.
All right. Thank you for that, Sammy. Remember, guys, if you want up-to-the-second updates on what is going on the Red Tour, be sure to follow T-Swift on Tour on Twitter. So, what did you guys think of that power outage on stage?
That's pretty crazy. I mean, it's not the first, like, mishap that they've had so far with Tour, but it was a pretty big one. I think Taylor handled it well, though. I almost wish the power hadn't come back on and she'd just done an acoustic show for 2 hours.
That would have been perfect.
It would have been really difficult, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but it would have been awesome.
I mean, she probably would have sat there and, like, talked to the crowd for 2 hours, which if I was in the crowd, I would have loved that. Probably more than
the
actual Red Tour.
Right. Something interesting that someone pointed out, at SwiftyFan6 on Twitter, pointed out the fact that we actually had a What Would Taylor Do question back in the day. What would Taylor do if the power went out while she was on stage?
Really?
Do you guys remember that? Now we have the real answer.
Were we right or were we wrong? I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know. That was an old one. I don't remember what we said.
I feel like we probably said something about, like, that she would just keep singing and try to keep going with the show. Yeah.
Right. Now, on to our main discussion. I kind of hinted at it earlier. We're going to be talking about Back to December because, well, we just went back to December, literally. It's the month of December. Sorry, bad joke. At least Diane sort of humored me and gave a fake laugh there. Thank you, Diane.
You're welcome.
So just from Taylor really quick before we get into the discussion, she said Back to December addresses a first for me in that I've never apologized to someone in a song before. This is about someone who was incredible to me, just perfect to me in a relationship, and I was careless with him. So this is a song full of words that I would say to him that he deserves to hear. So what do you guys think of the song?
This honestly was the first time that I listened to this song, probably like 6 months. I don't know why. It just hasn't popped up recently. But I forgot how much I loved it and how deep and sad this song is. It's just really beautiful.
Yeah. Steve, Maya? Either of you?
I like it. It's a good song.
You're not too enthusiastic about it.
It's not my favorite. I think it's pretty.
Yeah, to me, this was one of those, it was like a grower song. It sort of had to grow on me, where I didn't like it the first time I heard it, but as I started listening to it more and more, it became better and better.
During the time of Speak Now, I listened to it more. Mm-hmm. Now I don't really.
Right. So now
too slow for you, Adam? Is that what it is?
That's part of it. That's part of it. I'm not a big fan of slow songs. I don't put them on repeat, but I can still appreciate them lyrically and musically. And this song is one of those that I can do that with. So, like, talking about what the song is about, I mean, Taylor obviously gave us a little hint there. It's an apology song, which is a first for her. And I think that's actually pretty impressive that she put herself out there like that, because people are accusing her constantly of writing all these vicious breakup songs. And this is one of those songs that's not blaming the guy. It's blaming herself. And I think that was interesting that she was able to do that.
Yeah, and that was very mature of her, because I want to say she must have written this when she was like, what, 19 or 20? And that's a big thing for someone that age to do. I mean, it's hard for, you know, to say that no matter what the situation, but it's awesome that she was able to do that and she put herself out there.
Right. Now, as far as who the song is about, the secret message on this one's pretty obvious. Secret message is three letters, T-A-Y, Tay. And we know she's not apologizing to herself. So
that would make for an interesting song, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess it would, Steve, wouldn't it? So I think for the sake of the discussion, we can more or less assume that this song is about Taylor Lautner.
I think it is. It's like 100% about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of questions
not an issue.
There.
Mm-mm.
Right. Now, of course, on the Speak Now performance, she gave us further hint when at the LA show, and I think, Diane, when we were talking before the show, you also mentioned she did this at a show in Detroit too, right?
Right, yeah.
Credited this song to the boy from Michigan, which is where Taylor Lautner is in fact from. So that's another hint. And as long as we're on the Speak Now performance, though, what did you guys think of that with the white piano and the fake snow falling inside the arena?
I liked the piano and I liked the snow. The only thing that threw me off was the dancers pretending that they were playing the violin.
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't really get that.
I didn't
like. I got Caitlyn being on stage and playing because she actually plays, but the rest of the dancers were just standing on the bridge in tuxedos pretending to play the violin, and I always thought that was confusing.
I think it has to do.
Clearly, you're not playing the violin. Like,
I think it has to do with the fact that one of the things that went into this song is the appearance of string instruments like that, where not a lot of her songs have that. I mean, we talked about Haunted, I think. Was that last week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Talked about Haunted last week that has the strings. But for the most part, her songs don't have that sort of orchestra string feel to it.
But she wanted to give the appearance of that. And that's what
I know.
She
I just said it just felt like it was so clearly fake that it didn't help the performance for me.
Well, so that's the performer's fault.
It wasn't like it was real snow falling or anything.
Well, I know that, but at least you know it's fake snow, but like fake snow is like a thing in theater. People do that all the time.
True.
Dancers and it does contribute to the visual
element. Standing there
pretending
to play string instruments is just weird.
Yeah.
I liked how it started out real magical with like the chimes that they
magical?
Had going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
it was
magical. When the bridge came down,
this
they
is a really
chimes.
Interesting adjective.
And then the snow started falling. It just was cool.
Well, I think magical was the theme of the whole Speak Now tour, Steve. I don't think that's unique to this song. Or whimsical. That might be a better choice of words.
Okay, sure, whimsical.
It was supposed to give off a whimsical feel. with the snow and everything. And it was very, like, it was interestingly visual for something that was so simple. Because for the most part, you know, Taylor sat at her white piano at the time rather than the red piano on the Red Tour. And so visually, like, Taylor herself, it almost reminded me of the All Too Well performance. Not
Same
that the
here.
Songs are similar, but the actual performances were similar.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with you on that, Adam. That's what I felt when I rewatched the video.
Now, something that was slightly different, though, is in All Too Well, she expressed her emotions very differently. In the Back to December performance on the Speak Now tour, she kept her face very almost happy at times, where in All Too Well, there were, I think she cried.
Oh, there were moments where she looked like she was going to cry.
If not, she did cry. So that was slightly different, but for those who haven't seen the Back to December performance on the Speak Now tour, that can give you at least an idea of Taylor sitting at her piano, her head, she did the head thing where she flips her head back. I don't know what to call that.
Hair flip?
Her hair flip?
Sure, yeah. Her hair flip.
She always does that when she plays piano.
Yeah. I'm just trying to paint a visual picture because we're an audio-based podcast. So.
Yes, thank you.
I can't flip my hair for everybody listening
thank
out there.
Thank you for reminding
you
me
do
of
that
the
that
medium
anyway.
That we're in, Adam.
Who says I can't do it? My mom told me I can do whatever I want.
Okay. Sorry to offend you.
So also in that performance, though, was the kind of mashup where she added in both clips from the song Apologize and You're Not Sorry. And Apologize, I think, was far more fitting than You're Not Sorry. I didn't understand You're Not Sorry's place in that.
Is that like You're Not Sorry was like a response to Apologize. It's like it's too late to apologize, you're not sorry.
So is she trying to sing on behalf of the male, presumably Lautner?
I mean sort of, but at the same time I think they also sort of reconciled and they weren't like not actually on bad terms anymore. I think she just sort of liked those songs and felt like it fit in nicely.
I guess I thought Apologize really fit in well because I think it adds to the song because the song is already, you have her apologizing to Taylor Lautner and this just sort of adds more feelings of regret. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what it seems like is you have Back to December, which is kind of her apology for everything, but there's no response from the guy. So you don't know. Maybe they will get back together, and Apologize is pretty much saying, no, we're not getting back together. We are never, ever getting back together.
Sorry, that's bad that I'm laughing at that, but it was funny that Steve fit the pun in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so speaking of the visuals, moving on with the visuals rather, there's a music video for Back to December. I personally love this video. I almost want to say it's underrated because I don't hear people talking about it a lot, but I think it was really well executed.
I think it was so different. People never quite latched onto it the way they did to other ones because it's sort of like the color scheme is very kind of almost bland and like it's very bleak, but it's cool. I don't know, I always just think about like the behind the scenes video where she talks about all the different kinds of fake snow that they have.
Yes.
And how much she doesn't like the squishy snow. What does she call it?
She said it felt like applesauce or something. It was like jelly
snow.
Gel snow
and you step in it and then it makes you feel really sad. Like she was just having such struggles with this snow and like oh, it's so funny.
But the snow was the most important visual element in the song.
I know. Mm-hmm. I think just whatever, the jelly snow.
Not because of the fact that it was December and it was winter, but because of what the snow represents. Because if you remember correctly, it snows. The reason they used the fake snow is because it was snowing indoors in her house.
Snowing indoors because she was so sad.
Yeah.
It was snowing in her heart, too.
It was. It's funny you
said.
It's funny you said that, Diane, because the way I was thinking of the representation is you got this guy wandering through the real snow outside and he's freezing physically. Taylor is inside where I would assume she has a heater running, but she's feeling his pain, sort of.
Yeah, I never actually thought about that until you mentioned it.
The indoor snow is like the visual representation of the feeling. So it's like the guy is a much more literal story. He's out in the snow freezing. Taylor is inside where it's snowing, and she's freezing inside.
That is so sad.
Wow.
I can be deep at times.
That was pretty deep. I like that.
You like that? So, I mean, what else from the video? You got the co-star in there, Guntars Asmenis. I don't even know how to pronounce it, but he's a model for Prada and Louis Vuitton and a bunch of designer upscale labels and stuff. Do you think he fit the role of the male character very well?
I mean, he looks like Taylor.
You think?
He looks like Taylor? Taylor Lautner or Taylor Swift?
Lautner.
Taylor Swift. Because I mean, he doesn't very much look like Taylor Lautner.
I don't think he looks like Taylor Lautner.
A little bit. Well, she was not going to be obvious about it. But it's like enough that you sort of get what she's trying to say.
I thought this guy was a lot whiter than Taylor Lautner.
I thought so, too.
Didn't have the tan skin even in December.
Tan skin. It's funny you said that, Steve, because that was one of my ideas, because I figured they have to have someone with the tan skin based on the visual line in the song itself, but they didn't really.
To me, that is one of the most awkward things that Taylor Swift has ever written. That line always jumps out at me, and I don't, like, it's just such a weird thing to say. I miss your tan skin. Why would you ever say that to someone? You wouldn't.
Well, because he's tall, dark, and handsome. That's why.
I know, but it's just weird. Like, it's a weird, I don't know.
Do you know what's kind of funny is the way she says it, and everyone's going to make fun of me here. It's kind of embarrassing. I don't know if I should throw it out there, but.
You started already.
I did. I'm sorry. Anyway, so I when I first heard the song, there's certain lyrics sometimes, you know, when words are blended together, how it doesn't always sound like the actual lyrics.
Yeah.
I always thought that line said, "I miss your texting." I don't know why.
I miss your texting. That could work. I hear it.
Thank you. You hear it, right? So I'm not entirely crazy, but the reason I thought it was that is because, you know, if you go back to the first verse, you have a very, well, it's a conversation between the two of them. So that's why I kind of thought, oh, texting would fit because they're talking and that's probably how they communicated.
But it was an in-person conversation, though.
What do you say, Maya? Sorry?
It was an in-person conversation, though.
It was, but
from the beginning.
It could very well be something that she missed because both of them being celebrities, Lautner was always traveling for his acting jobs. Taylor was on tour. So texting probably was one of the methods of contact for them.
Okay, that would have been a worse line than "I miss your tan skin." "I miss your texting" would have been worse.
I thought it would have fit. But I mean, no. Let's not argue about the fake lyric that I made up in my head.
Adam, you're not a songwriter.
So romantic.
I have one more thing for the music video.
Yeah, let's stay on the music video. Thank you, Steve. Cover me here.
Back to the music video. It was out of order. It was not in chronological order what was occurring in the different scenes.
Can you explain further?
Okay. So at the beginning, you see him in a leather jacket walking through the snow. Just out thinking in his mind. You can tell stuff's going on. You see Taylor, and there's different parts that go on. The snow starts falling for Taylor. Eventually, you see near the end of the video, she actually writes a note that she's been writing there the whole time on the bed, slips it into the pocket of a leather jacket. Scene cuts to him in a truck with his jacket on the side. He grabs his jacket, puts his jacket on, and starts walking out into the cold, which is actually where it would cut to the beginning of the video.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't notice
that. So it's almost like a circle in a way. Like, you could watch the video from the middle, and that would be the actual start of the story, and then start it over and get the whole sense of what happened.
Pretty much,
it's pretty cool. Yep. I wonder what
that means. You're going to have to watch it again.
Why did they do that?
Well, Steve, it's a good thing that we'll have it up in the show notes.
Right.
At taylortalk.org/episode105, subtle plug. In case you haven't seen the video. But that's an interesting observation, Steve. Do you think, why would you think that the director would do it like that? I mean, do you have a reason, or is it just something you observed?
I must think it's along the lines of how Shane Drake did Tim McGraw's Highway Don't Care, where you think you know what's going on, and then all of a sudden, boom. Now all of a sudden everything comes together and you're like, oh, that's not what I was originally thinking was going on there. I think that's part of it.
Right.
So you think it might have, they might have done it for more of like a shock effect, like a surprise moment?
Well, like, you're trying to figure out, you have two totally different scenes. You have the guy walking in the snow and you have Taylor in her house there. and you're trying to figure out how those two parts connect together. You kind of get an idea with the song, and then at the end, everything's tied together in the video too.
That's interesting. I have a little bit different take on it from the song. There's a line in the bridge that where she says, "I'd go back in time and change it, but I can't." So I almost think the fact that this video is like a circle, in the sense that it starts in the middle and it goes back and it kind of goes over and over again. It just shows like how Taylor keeps thinking about this time when she basically hurt this guy and kind of wishes that she could go back and change it. And it's just something that plays in her head over and over again.
That's a possibility. That kind of makes sense.
That's
a good
idea.
The part, it's at the very end, the last part of the video, is you actually see him pull the note out of his pocket and start reading it. And I think part of that is the hope that maybe the two of them may get together. That's why it kind of cuts there at the end, because Back to December is a hopeful song where it's apologizing and you're not sure that maybe it'll work out in the future. It's hard to say. It's kind of open to interpretation.
So, Steve, your personal opinion then, do you think this is Taylor's attempt to get back with Taylor Lautner?
Absolutely. I think it's a apologize and kind of clear up. It really reminds
me. It's more just trying to apologize than like, I think she just feels so bad about it that she just wanted to clear the air. I think at some point it became not even about getting back together with him anymore and just like having him know that she felt bad about how it had ended. Because, like, you know, at some point you move on with your life.
Yeah, I think Maya's accurate on that one, Steve. I'm sorry to disagree with you, but I do think it's more along the lines of she just wanted to let him know that she feels bad and still cares about him as a person, but I don't think she's trying to get back with him, because she wouldn't have left him in the first place.
Well, there is a line in the bridge too, though, that kind of makes you wonder, where she says, but if we loved again, I'd swear I'd love you, right?
But that's so like that, if, though. That's like if that happened, but it's
but
not going to.
But it just keeps it open in a way. Like, maybe we could get back together in the future kind of thing.
I just think from the reality of what actually happened in life, that I don't think she actually, by the time this came out, I don't think she was planning on getting back together with him at all.
Maybe
I think
not
it was
by
more
the time,
like, you know, just wanting him to know that she felt bad about how it ended.
But I think it's because the chain was on his door and she understood.
Oh,
that's why.
Adam. I mean, Steve. Whatever your name is.
Well, one of the guys on Taylor Talk.
One of those men. But I was thinking, maybe Taylor felt like she didn't want to get back to him when the song actually came out, but maybe when she actually wrote the song, she felt differently.
Right.
I mean, maybe.
But we'll never know.
I don't think so.
By the time it came out, that didn't matter.
Yeah.
I still think Maya's right on this one, because, Diane, if you're looking at the line, what was the line again? Refresh my memory.
But if we loved again, I'd swear I'd love you, right?
Yeah, that's if we loved again. She's saying if that love reignited, then she would do it right, but she's saying the love isn't there. Like, reading between the lines, she's saying the love is not there. She's saying if it were, she would do it right the second time around.
It's not like if we love again, I'll love you right. It's all in past tense, which is more like if that were to happen again, I would do it better, but it's not going to happen again, so I'm just trying to apologize.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is like a Taylor Talk first. It's like Adam and Maya versus Diane and Steve.
Yeah, but then, wait, hold on. But then one of the last lines of the song, she says, "I'd go back to December, turn around, and change my own mind."
Yeah, then she would have, but not anymore. Now it's in the past, and she can't do anything about it. That's the whole point.
And Diane, that could also be she would change her mind about how she handled it, because obviously there's the very powerful visual element when she says, "You gave me roses, and I left them there to die." Maybe she would have changed the way she went about doing things, but not changed.
I think she is saying that she wouldn't have broken up with him, but I think it's also there's an element of like, yes, that's what I would have done then, and I feel bad about it now, but like, it's also that's in the past and she can't go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she would still break up with him. She was just finding a more tactful way of doing it, because obviously the way she did it was very hurtful to him.
Yeah.
Poor Taylor Lautner. So gorgeous.
I'm sure he will find love. Trust me.
I think he'll be okay.
I think Diane is wanting Taylor Lautner right now.
I volunteer. Taylor, if you don't want him, I'll take him.
So does anybody have, I mean, we've been talking a lot about the lyrics. Does anyone have any particular favorite lyrics that we haven't yet discussed? Because, like, I really like just the opening verse as a whole, where it shows that dialogue, which I had mentioned earlier, because I think it not only gives us insight into their relationship, sort of, but it portrays that awkward feeling. Like, they broke up, and now they're having this really awkward conversation. Like,
and I remember her saying in an interview that that was, like, very close to how that conversation actually went. Like, right. She tried to make it as verbatim as she could.
Right. That's true. And do you guys feel that awkwardness there? It's like small talk you would meet with, or with, like, someone you would first meet. Like, oh, how's life?
Yeah, no, you can feel that. And you're like, oh, this is weird. Like, mm-hmm. This so, feels uncomfortable.
I really like that part of the
song. I wonder if she wrote this song as a response to that moment where she saw the fact they were almost like, that their relationship had become so strained, and she wanted to make it all better, so she wrote this song.
Possibly.
I mean, I think she'd been feeling bad already.
Yeah.
About how it ended. Like, that's why they met up at all. I'm sure just from the way she describes it, it's clear that she's the one who initiated that, because he just seems uncomfortable about the whole thing. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, are there any other lyrics that you guys like?
I mean, there's a line in the bridge that I think is interesting, too. She says, "And how you held me in your arms that September night, the first time you ever saw me cry."
That is interesting.
That's in reference to the VMAs, yeah.
Maya!
2009.
Watch your language. We apologize for Maya saying the K word.
But we can't say too much. I say the K word
all the time. I have no problems with that.
Maya's got a potty mouth. I'm kidding. I don't think
there's anything wrong with Kanye West or John Mayer, for that matter.
Oh, it's just, I'm just playing just around. But Diane,
this is my biggest pet peeve in the universe. People who don't like those artists because of Taylor.
Well, I don't like Kanye's music just because I don't like his music, but that's me.
Okay, that's legit.
I'm not a big hip-hop fan.
Oh my god, I hate him. I'm like, no, you are being a sheep.
Well, you can hate him as a person without hating his music. That right. happens. But
yeah.
I mean, trying to stay on topic here, Diane, what were you saying about that line? You think it's from the VMAs?
Yeah, it's just that's in reference because I believe they were together at the time. And if I remember correctly, Taylor Lautner was actually on stage with her in the background when that happened. So he watched the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
There's a picture online, or I think he actually did a skit about it on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he like punched a cardboard cutout of Kanye.
And that's what he should have done that night, but instead he just stood there.
Well, was this before or after he had the big muscles?
This was during his big muscle.
It was, yeah, he hosted SNL when, like, because of Twilight.
Oh, I gotcha. No, I was just kind of joking because you said he should have actually punched Kanye at the time.
No, so. That's just what he said. He like, joked about doing that.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
Saturday Night Live. Okay.
So, I mean, if nobody has anything else to say about the song, I think that we had a great discussion, really broke it down really well. So on a scale rating, like we always do, of 1 to 13, Maya, what would you give this song?
Let's say 9.
A 9?
That's Steve? Low.
I'll give it 11.
An 11? Diane?
I'm going to give it a 13.
Perfect 13.
It's such an interesting song. It's so different than any other song she's written and maybe probably will ever write. And there's so many good quotes from the song that you can just pull out and tweet if you're feeling emotional. Like, there's so much good stuff.
Okay.
I like it.
And then, Steve, you said 11, right?
Yes.
I think I'm going to match Steve on that 11.
Yay.
It's not my favorite song, but I really like it. I think it's very nice lyrically and musically and everything else, but it's just not my personal favorite. But I still think it deserves a high ranking. So we hope you guys enjoyed our discussion on going back to December. We got some mini segments for you this episode. Diane's going to give us our first one.
This one comes from Maria via email, and she says, you know you're part of a Swiftie family when you wake up almost every morning with three different T-Swift songs blaring. My family is the best.
Whoa. So wait a second. Does that mean like her family wakes her up to Taylor music?
I think like everyone else is listening to Taylor when she wakes up.
Oh, that's cool.
Steve? Okay, I got the next one here. You know you're a Swiftie when you jump up and down like a pixie when the Walmart commercial comes on with Never Growing Up playing it. And that's from Kelly via text.
How does a pixie jump up and down? Never seen that before.
I would say, I don't know.
Steve, are you a pixie?
I am not a pixie, no, but I do like when that comes on. It did come on there the other day when I was watching TV, and I thought it was actually new, but that was the same one from last year, right?
I think it's the same one.
It's still awesome.
Cool. Thank you, Kelly, for sending that in.
All right. Next one is from Listen to Swift 13 on Twitter. You know you're a Swiftie when you look at Taylor's Twitter pics all the way back to the Speak Now era and then start crying.
Aww,
nostalgia.
I know. I loved the Speak Now tour. All right, next one is from @Arundel_M, who said, if Swifties ruled the world, all guy Swifties would get the chance to go on a little date with Taylor.
Oh, God. Poor girl.
Taylor would be kind of busy, wouldn't she? Even busier than she is now.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine what the papers would say?
Also, just going on a date with a fan, they would just sit there and stare at you the whole time.
According to that... in-depth Joe Jonas article, he supposedly has gone on dates with fans before.
Yeah, he said he took a fan to the movies and bane out with her the whole time.
I saw that, yeah. Wow.
Diane, what's the next one?
The next one is from Joel via Facebook, and they say, you know you're Swiftie when you can't stop drinking Diet Coke.
Oh, no.
I love Taylor, I do, but I just don't like Diet Coke, man.
Me neither.
I tried. It gives me stomach aches.
I've actually had a bunch of friends buying that for me. They're like, look what I found at the grocery store. I got you some. I'm like, great.
That's funny.
It's good now, but I like have like a stack of it now. So it's
You're like, let me add it to my collection.
At least they're thinking of you, Steve. It counts for something.
Well, that's what matters. That's
exactly.
All right, I got the next one here. And this one came from Rebecca via text message. And it's, if Swifties ruled the world, Taylor merch would be easy to find in all countries. Parentheses, yay, Canada.
Hopefully one day it will be.
Right? Well, in all fairness, just speaking from experience, with trying to look into international shipping for the Taylor Talk t-shirts, it is difficult because not only is shipping expensive, but you have to deal with customs and exporting and all kinds of things like that. So... for anyone that's curious, you can look into that. It's really a bunch of dry, boring information. But yep. I'm just saying that in defense of the Taylor Swift store, it's really difficult to offer international product.
Adam, you may want to probably save this till the end, but we have a couple of contests going on, right?
We do. And we'll get to those. I'm glad you teased it, Steve. But there's definitely some stuff in open to international Swifties with product you cannot get in your respective countries. But we'll get to that shortly. We're almost done with the episode. Maya's got one more mini segment here. So,
all right. And our last one is from Liz via text message. And she said, if Swifties rule the world, it wouldn't be Disneyland. It would be called Swifties Land.
What kind of rides would there be at Swifties Land?
Oh, I don't
know.
The one
about Meredith, for sure. I don't know what that would be, but I'm sure she would have like her own little person in a suit and that would take pictures with the little kids, like a
like Mickey
characters.
Mouse walking around Disneyland. Like yeah. you got a big giant Meredith taking pictures with visitors.
Yeah.
That would be funny. So thank you to everybody who sent in mini segment submissions. Please keep those coming for future episodes. Next time we'll be reading them is on episode 107. I'd lost my train of thought. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no.
I know it happens. What were we talking about? The mini segments? Oh, mm-hmm. So we got another mini segment. Diane, can you share with us what our Swifties listening to?
This one comes from Ginny via text message, and she said Swifties are listening to Amber Waves and Elevator by Erin McCarley.
Oh.
No, I like her. She's good.
I like her. She has a couple of good songs out there. What is it? Love Save the Empty is a good one. I've not listened to this
one. I remember a long time ago, Taylor did one of those things where she made a playlist for iTunes. You know how celebrities do that?
Yeah.
And, she put Erin McCarley on that playlist, and she said that she feels like they're very similar artists.
Really?
I remember that. So, yeah. So Taylor likes her, and she thinks that they're similar. So.
I got to look into her. I'm not familiar with Erin McCarley.
She's good.
Yeah. Well, Taylor's a fan, so.
If Taylor loves her, we all love her.
Yep.
So, anyway, again, thank you for submitting that. And as Steve alluded to earlier, about, what, a minute ago, we do have some ongoing contests right now. Now, as part of the 13 Days of Taylor promotion, like I said, we were fortunate enough to unveil that lithograph. We were provided by Taylor Nation with a couple extra lithographs that we are giving away. Right now, we have a tweet on Twitter that we will embed in the show notes for episode 105 at taylortalk.org/episode105. All you have to do, follow TaylorTalk13 on Twitter, follow TaylorNation13 on Twitter, which is the official account for Taylor Nation, and just retweet that tweet, and you're entered to win a lithograph that's open worldwide. So Swifties out there that don't have a chance to buy it because they're not from the U.S., this is kind of a chance. I know it's a small chance because it's a contest, but if you don't enter the contest, your chance of getting it will be zero. So you may as well give it a try, right?
Right. You get one chance.
Oh, Steve.
Steve, Steve is like butter today. Yeah. Steve's like butter today. He's on a roll.
Oh.
That was punny.
That was not even a good one. And the fact that you tried twice to make it happen, just, oh dear.
I thought it was funny.
Uh-huh. I like it.
And again, for all the 13 Days of Taylor products, we did create a shortcut link, taylortalk.org/13days. And that'll take you straight to the Taylor Swift online store, and you will be able to look through all the different 13 Days products. And that'll be super cool to do, because there's a lot
of
great products.
Apparently, if you get stuff from 13 Days of Taylor, you get a thank you card.
Really?
In your order, with a printed Taylor signature on it.
That's
printed, but it's still fun.
That's cool. And if you enter code Taylor Talk, all one word, Taylor Talk, you get a free red album poster.
Yay.
So definitely on checkout, enter code Taylor Talk, and that'll be kind of cool. It's a cool looking poster. It's basically like Taylor's red album cover blown up to poster size. Super cool.
And you get it for free.
So that about wraps it up for episode 105. Thank you to everyone who participated, sent in mini segment submissions. If you want to send them in for future episodes, remember there are tons and tons and tons of ways you can do so. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us, all of those to taylortalk13. For episode 106, our next midweek episode, be sure to submit some Ask FM questions that will get answered for you to askfm or ask.fm/taylortalk13. If you want to hear your voice on the show, there's two ways of doing that. You can leave us a voicemail to area code 240-31-SWIFT or directly on taylortalk.org. There's a button there that says send voicemail. And if you're a little bit shy, you can send us a text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT. We look forward to hearing from all you guys and reading your submissions on future episodes. But for now, this has been episode 105. My name is Adam.
I'm Maya.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
Saying have a great day, guys. We'll see you in a couple days for episode 106. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.